course, I always talk a lot about the etheric body. And where this plays an important part in this class is that's where your codes are for your life purpose. Now, a lot of these things are basically the same thing. They just have different names. If you want to come from a more religious point of view, that's probably called your soul. But coming from an energy vibrational point of view, that's your etheric body, which I hope we've got that down good, that the etheric body is the energy body that's closest to your physical body that drives the development of cellular growth. Okay? So we could say the etheric body is the cause while the physical body is the effect. And this is why there's been such a shift in medicine, is that people are understanding that dealing with the physical body first is dealing with an effect without changing the cause. So that does not mean that there's not people well-trained or gifted or talented in certain modalities that can at times bring a physical manifestation or what we call a healing at the physical level. I'm not convinced that we can say everything in the physical body comes from an emotional or mental or whatever. I think some things such as, let me give you an example, toxics, pollution, viruses, whatever, would have to be treated as a physical thing. So that's probably where some medication would come in. Not being a great advocate of medication, there's been sometimes I've had to look to medication. If I get strep throat or I get something like that, I'm going to take an antibiotic. Don't really want to. That's not my first choice. But I'll do what I have to do. But at the same time, it's my responsibility to look into what can I do to stop having those physical things. And that's also where we want to work. So I guess what I'm saying is we can work from a cause to effect, but we can also work from effect to cause. It works both ways. So anyway, it was asked to me when I was talking about the physical, you know, going through the etheric, going through the spiritual bodies, the mental, the emotional, the astral, and the coalescence of the etheric body, people were trying to figure out, because the brain is so linear, it thinks, okay, etheric, causal, astral, mental, emotional, etheric, physical. That's the way we think. We know that B always follows A, and 2 is after 1, and we're linear. We're linear. Human beings are basically linear in their thinking. They think of this and that and whatever. The new consciousness, if I can call it that, is not so linear. It's much more vertical. And to me, that gives such a powerful meaning to the symbol of the cross. You know, religion thinks it has its whole beginning with the cross, but that's not true. The cross has been found in ancient caves, and long before Christianity was ever developed, there were crosses. And the cross represent the connection between the horizontal and the vertical. And when people reach that point, they have a choice to make. This is where your power lies. Your choice is that you can go into the vertical when you come to this, what would you call this point? Somebody give me a name for it.
Nexus.
It's not the apex.
Vertex.
Huh?
Vertex.
No, I'm sure there's a name for this point, and I used to know it. But it's the point where you've been traveling along the horizontal, and then you come to that point where the vertical is. So the choice is you can become more vertical in your thinking, or you can continue on the horizontal. And that's when history starts repeating itself, because if you stay on the horizontal, then your past is going to affect what your future is going to be. But when you come to the vertical, that's all done away with. You don't have to be the product of past patterns. And I could use the example of prophecies. Take Nostradamus. Nostradamus. Take, who's the big, the famous one?
Casey.
All of these gave prophecies about how the age would end, and a lot of it was pretty violent stuff. But if you really look at their stuff, what is always missed in there is that it's not set in stone, that if people would rise up in consciousness and learn their power, they could change what destiny is going to be. So if you're a Bible person, then you're basically have a lot of scriptures that tell you about how violent the end of the world is going to be. And we are not realizing that, but we're creating this whole scenario. It's self-fulfilled prophecy. So there will be a lot of people who will continue down the linear, and maybe they will experience California falling into the ocean or whatever all this stuff is that's supposed to happen that everybody's been talking about for 100 years. Maybe they're going to create that if consciousness stays toward that kind of idea. But as a shift in consciousness, there's an intervention that's going on, and that's to change that destiny. So why I said that, and I put this up here, is the etheric and the physical bodies, being of different frequencies, overlap within the same space. What's so simple, a simple way to understand that, is your remote control. So channel 7, I don't know what the channels are here because I don't watch regular TV, but channel 7, say channel 2, all exist at the same time. It's what frequency that you connect to that you're going to see. But because you just see one channel doesn't mean the others are not existing. They're all existing in the same space, but they all have a different frequency, and the one that you are going to visualize is the frequency you're tuned to. Okay? So it's all about learning to tune to the etheric frequencies. That is going to make a difference in working in the etheric body. But we play it out. And if you remember, I use the example of someone like Steven Spielberg or some great writer or someone who creates a story, a movie, a book, and all of a sudden they get their storyline. Okay? So they can see it from the beginning, they see how it's going to progress, how it's going to finish. So that's all vertical in their head. They know the whole thing. But they can't tell me that. There's no way you could tell me that in one vertical moment. So you have to lay it down in frames so that it can play out. And when you go to the movie, all these frames then give us the picture that somebody created inside their head at that moment. So that's kind of what reincarnation is. It is the playing out in the world of perception on something that already is. The thing is we don't understand sometimes our power to change the story. When we validate misinformation into our belief system, then we go in and we change the original creation story and we begin to form a different story. And that story is one maybe with tragedy, fear, abuse, hurt, illness, sickness, and so on and so forth. And I think what is the hardest thing in growing up spiritually is the R word, responsibility. The responsibility for our own world and our own life. So I just want to make that clear to you because if your mind's kind of playing that game with you, like, well, where are all these bodies? I mean, we can register these bodies through curling photography. And Alan was here yesterday with his new amp on his phone, taking my aura picture and Tim's on his phone. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just going to be a normal everything day to start checking out people's energy fields or your own and see what's going on today. And if somebody's telling you something you're not sure, click it and sniff their aura. You know, if it's red and dark and all that, you know, you're dealing with angry. If it's blues and purples and things like that, you're dealing with a more higher consciousness. And, you know, we need to learn those things. The greens and all of that can tell us so much. More than words from the body can so manipulate us and fool us that it's, hello, welcome.
The age of Star Trek.
Yeah, it is upon us. We are truly living in the quantum age. Yeah, no doubt about it. So anyway, for you that is coming in, we're just still kind of reviewing from last time. All right. I don't know if we're ever going to get out of chapter 1 or not, but that's okay if we don't. So let's go back just a little bit. Let me ask you some of the same things. And that is, first of all, how do we define aging according to this information? What ages the human body? It's an enzyme that caps the what? The what?
DNA.
Yeah. Actually, the chromosomes that hold DNA would be more accurate, but DNA is fine. It's an enzyme that caps the chromosomes that holds our DNA. Now, what happens to that enzyme? The chipping off of that enzyme through cell regeneration.
Mitosis.
Very good. So every time it chips, we go into degeneration. Now that's for normal cells. What about abnormal cells, say cancer cells? They don't chip off. This is why cancer has been one of the most difficult and challenging diseases of mankind, is they don't degenerate. If cancer cells degenerated, people would get better and better and better and better. But because they don't, people remain the same and get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But the positive spin on that, by learning about how that happens and transferring that over to normal cells, gives us more cycles for cells to regenerate, which can give us what's called longevity. Longevity. Now, why would we even want longevity? You know, if you followed a spiritual path, it's like, oh God, let's get out of here. You know, this is a crazy world we live in, and all the systems of the world are breaking down, and stress, and I want you to go deep into your soul life just a moment and see, why would you be attracted to this class, and why is it possible that maybe you would like to stay around a little longer than the next 5 years, 3 years, 6 years? Maybe you'd like to stay around as long as you might choose to stay around. Why would you want to do that? Again, a lot of this is my opinion. I'm not trying to convert anybody to any way of thinking. You have to work out your own salvation with great reverence. I'm trying to work out mine. I'm just sharing mine. My experience has been is this is the last time for me in the third dimension space-time. So that means I've had more grace, I call it, because to me, grace is space. Remember when you used to get bills in the mail before they were all on the internet? Hi, Nancy. When you had a payment due and it said the first, but you could really wait till the 10th because that was called a grace period. So that gave you 10 days of space in which to come up with it. Well, we used to have a lot more space to work with, so we could really be slower about really attaining our optimum contracts and purposes for being on the planet. Well, that has shortened. Time has shortened. We don't have that space of time much. So this is a real intense time for people who are following their spiritual path. This is a time, one, of responsibility. It is a time of spiritual growth. It is a time of tremendous commitment to study and to inner research. And this is not a time that you can put your spiritual path on the back burner, is what I'm saying. You really have to put it on the front burner right now if you want to step up to be a part of the first fruits of this harvest or reach this critical mass of light workers that is going to intervene to change the course of the world. Let that soak in. Now, I know a lot of you are not Bible-oriented, but I'm going to give you Psalms 82, which says, "Do you not know the world is off course? The foundations of the world are off course. Know ye not ye are gods? Why would you lay down and die like the princes of this world?" That's one of the most powerful eight verses, is Psalms 82. When Creator is saying to us, "How long will you let this go on?" "Well, I thought you were going to do it. I'm just a little peon human being." No, God is saying, "How long are you going to do it?" That's why it bothers me when people come to me and they say, "How could God let so many children starve in this world and over in Africa?" My answer is, how can we let people starve and children starve and be abused on this planet? We're always passing it off on some God to intervene for us. But then we come to such communities as say and say that God's in us, through us, and as us. So God is using our humanity to fulfill a divine plan called the plan of the ages. That's why you want to stay here. You want to stay here long enough for God to use your humanity for humanity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's why you want to stay. It's not a personal thing that you're having a great time right now. I mean, getting older isn't fun. It's not for sissies, they say. Trust me, it's not. You that are hitting the 60s part, you know what I'm talking about. You know, everything starts kind of going south a little bit. And it's different, and it's like, just be easier to lay this body down and go into a better place of bliss and all these wonderful things you hear. But yet in me, I have a drive that I must stay here in this body and fulfill my part of the divine plan before death takes me. So I love it when it says, "The last enemy that shall be put under our feet is death. And O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Isn't that powerful? So, just as and we know this has been done through some of the Tibetan monks and others who have dedicated themselves to meditation and full-time, practically, spirituality. They don't live in the world like we do, and we kind of, you know, give a little bit a week or to meditate or to come to a spiritual meeting or something. They live it every day. And because they have done that, they have shown us that they can be in agreement to when they want to leave the physical body without some disease or some sickness. But they can meditate at such a deep level that they can move right out of their bodies. So that's to show us that it is a possibility that we can do that. So, does that make sense to you? That's my reason is that the plan of God be fulfilled in me, through me, because God needs my hands to touch the hands of humanity. God needs my mouth to speak to the world of humanity. God needs my feet and legs to go in the direction that God wants to go in this realm. So truly we are divine spiritual beings that is having a human experience, and that is you and I. So that's why we're taking this class, because we're learning all that we can on how can we add. Now, when I learned about telomeres, I know I'm repeating myself, but I just want to keep doing it. When I learned about telomeres was actually 15, 20 years ago. I don't know. It's when I came into DNA work. When I came into DNA, activation work. When I learned about telomeres, it was because of my study on DNA activation with Dr. Gerard out in California. And it's through his material that I learned about telomeres and found out about a company called the G-E-R-O-N. Geron Corporation in California. They were the ones who had done the research and learned how to manipulate telomere to add enough replications for a person to live 125 years. Now, of course, that's been squelched for the last two or three decades because the pharmaceutical companies and the medical and the world society at large did not want that to happen or that energy to be out because they were already trying to figure out what they was going to do with the economy with all the baby boomers coming up. That's still a big issue. We got some people kind of upset with us in the next generation because they think we're going to break the whole system, which is probably what's going to happen. And that's not a bad thing. That's right. Then maybe a better and new system will definitely take its place. But I knew that was available at that time. But I believe it's going to be done the old-fashioned way. Nutrition, consciousness, and through this information and knowledge that we're putting out for you here. So there's going to be many elements that's going to do this. There's no magic pill. We will later in the classes get into epigenetics. That's the whole new thing now that we need to look at. That is what is upon our DNA that has to do with switches that haven't been switched on yet. And that has to do with all kinds of things from nutrition to stress to whatever. So we'll get into that later.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
So, The Aging Process and Its Primary Cause, our books are from a man named Gene Davis, who is on the other side at this time working with us, but has kind of commissioned me to carry his work forward, and that's what I'm doing. I'm using his stuff as a springboard, but I have so much of my own because I've been studying this for 25 years or 30 years. I've been studying DNA. I've been studying cellular replication and all that kind of thing, so we're basically doing that. So, we learned in the class the reason for physical body is aging and dying is because of misusing our life force through the nature of our thinking. Not just our thinking, but the nature of thinking. Now, I've sat in a lot of workshops, and we have a lot of them right here, about positive thinking, prosperity thinking, 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 thinking. Everything is about thinking. And I knew something is missing about just thinking. And I believe what's missing is right here, the nature of thinking. The nature of thinking. So it's just not about replacing one thought with another thought, but it's where that thought that's replacing it comes from that holds the vibratory frequency that is going to create through the thought. It's not the thought that creates. It's the frequency or intent in the thought that attracts whatever it is that is needed to create it. Everybody with me on that? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important you understand the intent of your life. Why are you here? Why are you here at this particular time? What do you want to do about being here? What would you like to accomplish by being here? And how would you like to finish up your human assignment when it's time? There lies our power. Our power. We have to walk out of victimization to do that and realize we are not the victims of the statistics. I recently had a heart scan. They found something in my blood that concerned my doctor, so he sent me to a cardiologist. And I took a calcium heart scan, and my God, they about, you know, they try to scare you to death, I swear to God. They do. Oh, my God, you've got plaque. I mean, he was like, oh, we need to do something quick. I mean, I thought I was going to have a heart attack any second. And I went through several days of just sitting there waiting for it. Oh, there it is. This is the big one. I mean, it was just so bizarre. And I went and took the stress test, passed it beautifully, and then come back and he says, oh, you got one little bit that anybody your age would have, and go back and exercise and do what you want. Well, thank you, you know, for that. So that's the way that kind of works, and we have to realize that we can't tap into those kind of thinking. We need a new nature of thought about ourselves, a new way of thinking. So through thinking, the individual establishes his belief system. So that's what thoughts become. Now, how did we learn how to create our belief system in a way that is in alignment with our inherited Christ consciousness? Now, for you that are new, we teach that Christ consciousness is the inherent system of wisdom and information that you bring in when you incarnate into the body. These are your spiritual codes for your life. And they are held where? In the etheric body. So the etheric is actually overlapping our physical body. It drives the cellular growth of the physical body. In this class, we're going totally opposite of what everybody else teaches, is that the body has an aura, and we're teaching the aura comes down into density to become the physical body. So that's our huge difference here from other classes, because everybody's going to say, my body has an aura. Okay? We're saying the aura is constantly using the spectrum of vibration, just as steam uses heat from higher heat to lower heat and takes on the density of water, and then the water takes on even a more dense, colder, and becomes frozen into ice. See, there's no reason to start with ice, but ice can become water and water can become steam, but it's actually the highest is steam, which becomes ice. So your etheric body, which is your highest frequency that holds your blueprint of perfect creation, is what's trying to come in to be a part of the mechanics of becoming your cellular structure. But it's not getting there very well because of all of the blockages, for general term, that are between it and your physical body. And those blockages could be anything from unresolved issues that you have suppressed into the unconscious. If you have been abused, you've been hurt, whatever, and you didn't want to deal with it, so you went to some therapist who mentally helped you get over it, but you actually suppressed it, then it became a vibrational imprint at the unconscious level, which then becomes a neural imprint. That's why it's important to get sound into the auditory system and into the nervous system, the work of Dr. Alfred Tomatis of France. So all of you that's been to me for tuning fork works know that I always put the forks first at the ear, because I'm getting it through the auditory into the nervous system, because that's where we're going to clear some of your most deepest neural imprints in the unconscious. So it could be, if you're a person who believes in the past lives, then it could be unresolved karmic issues. It could be unresolved emotional issues to do with anger, suppressed anger. Oh, I'm not angry anymore. I forgave them. That could be a whole mental thing. But that doesn't mean that you have taken care of the imprint. This is a good subject. If a person is not ready to let go of something at the unconscious level, even though they're saying they are at the conscious level, then they're going to drive it in deeper. If they're really ready to let something go from the very deep core issue, then it can be used to release. So everything kind of transmits in the form of receiving, and at the same time, it can also release and let go of things. It's kind of the wheat and tares idea, which I know you understand. The wheat and tares grow together. So that's one thing that I teach all my practitioners is spend some time. That's why I do coaching before I work on a person. Is I need to test and find out, is this person here to really let go of what's no longer serving them, or are they become energetically attached to it that they're not ready to let go? One example is years ago I had a woman that came to me, and at that time people were coming and getting tremendous results. I mean, it was just people were like jumping around on the table and just all kinds of stuff, crying and carrying on. And I had this one lady who was so nice, and she would come and nothing. She just lay there. Just lay there. And I'd worked so hard, and I blamed myself. I said, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm failing somehow. And finally, after so many sessions, I just I did a test the way I do a test, and asked her inner intelligence, do you really want healing? And it says no. So I informed her. I said, what I'm getting from you is you are not ready for to self-heal yourself. She says, well, of course I am. I said, well, that's not it. So long story short, what happened after another time or two, after I finally did enough tunings, and sometimes it takes a lot of tunings to break through all this stuff, when I finally got through, she just blurted out of her mouth, if I get healed, I'll lose my disability check. And I've heard that from my husband won't love me anymore. My children won't know what it is. And I get all this attention, and nobody will give me that attention. And I started finding out how people don't want to heal at a deep level because they have made an identity with it. So then you have to work with that person from a whole different point of view and level. I know that sounds surprising because you think anybody wants to heal, but they really don't, because people are stuck in what is Marilyn Mace calls woundology. All right, so how do we decide what we want to believe in? Because you have to create your belief system. Because you're going to hear all kinds of information. You go to church and you hear this. Then you go to another church and you hear that. Then you pick up the Bible and you read this. Then you find somebody's book and you read this. I mean, information just coming at you. So what of that information do you want to qualify into your belief system? And how do you do it? Contemplation. Remember? How do I contemplate some form of information or knowledge? Don't judge it. Right or wrong, true or false. So you bring it into a neutral state of contemplation. So, how does that work? So I'm contemplating something. Maybe you're going to contemplate something I'm saying. Either now or later when you leave here. I hope it's later, because this says you should wait till later and not try to do it at that time, because you'll react from your brain too quickly. And I've been very wrong for me when I did that, because later I thought, ooh, I think I do believe that now. That was pretty good after all. So don't be quick to do that. So what am I trying to do? So if I'm contemplating some knowledge or information on the outside of myself and I want it to qualify into my belief system, how do I do that? Can anybody give me any suggestion? Now remember, I have in me all intelligence. In fact, I don't have it with me, but I will read it to you sometime, something that I teach in my phase one class that proves that the first eight cells that you make in your etheric body, which makes a cube, which is centered in the center of the body at the coccyx, holds all the knowledge of the universe. That's why the Eastern people discovered Kundalini energy at the coccyx. That's why in Soma Energetics, where do I start on you that have been tuned? On your stomach, at the coccyx. That's, and the cube is not just a cube, but it is a cube that is sacred geometry of the golden mean ratio. And probably a lot of you are saying, what in the heck is the golden mean ratio? Well, the answer is it's everything you need to know. From the distance of the bones in your fingers, from the coccyx to the floor, to the veins and leaves. People of the European and Eastern understood the golden mean ratio, mainly starting 2,500 years ago from Pythagoras. I hate to tell you guys, but we in the West have been slighted. We have been totally cut off from so much powerful information and yet sold to believe that we're the top of the intelligent level. Totally incorrect. If you go to Europe, and I've been to Europe, I've been over to seven countries, went through the churches, and all the churches have arches, and they have an architect that is very interested, but it's based on the golden mean ratio. Why would a church want golden mean ratio? People who love to look at Leonardo da Vinci's art. It's really bizarre art. Picasso, bizarre art. I mean, it's really, to the natural eye, it's kind of all out of proportion, crazy looking stuff. But it's worth millions and millions of dollars because people enjoyed looking at those people's art. They were probably better artists, but what about their art? Musicians, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Haydn. Why is their music so powerful and wonderful? I'm convinced there's always other people that can do as well, if not better, than people who become famous. But they knew something. Because the secret societies of those days taught people how to do things differently than the masses. Because they didn't think the masses was even smart enough that if they got a hold of knowledge, they would run it. That's how it started out, before greed got in. They thought we are the protectors of the knowledge from the masses. And that's what the religions became. They kept it in their archives and they kept it in their places. They didn't even let people read the Bible because they might take that knowledge and misuse it and ruin it. So a lot of information got locked up for a long time. And that's what brought us into the Dark Ages. You know, who was in the dark and who put you in the dark? That's the question you have to ask. So they understood this golden mean ratio. It's an irrational ratio. It's something like 1.6189. It goes on to infinity. It just totally is bizarre. How many of you have seen the proportion guy? Yeah. You know, the guy that does this? That's golden mean. If you put a cube around him, that's totally a golden mean. All those proportions on him are based on the golden mean. The golden mean is the proper proportion of nature. When you're in a line with the golden mean, you feel an alignment which interprets into feeling a spiritual experience. So when I go in those old churches over there and would just set, I mean, just something would come over me. I mean, I felt you know, I felt something moving through my body, and it was so peaceful and spiritual. And of course, I interpret that as I feel the presence of God. Well, that's fine. It'd be the presence of God. But what is the presence of God? The presence of God is a total alignment between our inner spiritual body and our outer physical body. When they come totally into an alignment, there's a release of something bigger than the sum of all of the parts. And that is something we call synergy or presence. So, you have three things in your body that's physical but very spiritual in nature. The first one we just talked about, which was your etheric body. That is a part of a physical, but it's not as dense as this one. But it's attached to it. They overlap in each other space. See? They overlap in the same space. Like two channels do that goes into your living room. You have all kinds of channels flying around, but you're not in tune with all of them, but they're all in the same space. It's just the one that you put the frequency on that shows up. So you have an etheric body. That's a more spiritual body. The second thing that you have is your pineal gland in the midbrain, which is used to transfer light into information. On the physical, bodily plane, it produces a chemical called, or hormone called, what? Melatonin. What does melatonin do for you? You don't get enough melatonin. It's sleep, but it's also your sleep cycle. It's when you are awake and when you're not awake. That's why people up in Norway and whatever, they have to get these imitation light things because it's sunlight going through the eye that creates melatonin in the pineal gland. And what do? We all get the sun rays taken out of our glasses so we don't get it in our eyes. So we wear glasses all the time. This is totally ridiculous. You need to go out and look as close to the sun as you can every day. Don't look at the sun. That's an art to do. But if you can just look enough, take your glasses off, and get that light in there, it will begin to produce your melatonin, and you won't have to go to the drugstore and get a melatonin tablet so you can sleep. But oh, that's a biggie, too. That's another thing. Yes, it will calcify your pineal gland if you're using fluoride in your toothpaste, mouthwash, whatever. That's a lie. America got fluoride from Hitler, who was putting it in the water of the Jews to make them docile. And America took it, and now the first thing we do when a baby's born is give them fluoride. So get rid of your fluoride as much as you can. It's hard to do, but there's some things you can do. There's plenty of non-fluoride toothpaste out there. Jason's is a great one. Tom's has some.
Baking soda
and sea salt is excellent to brush your teeth with. I mean, there's things we can do if we take responsibility to help ourselves. But you don't want to calcify your pineal gland because it's going to play a tremendous part when fifth-dimensional photon energy starts coming in through the heart and to the pineal gland. You're going to have more ahas and epiphanies you've ever had in your life. I mean, you're going to go like, I get it. I see it. Wow, I'm clear on that one. Can you imagine just a whole day of those things? Just things like getting through to you, like God's voice personally coming to you and saying, this, until your life becomes what? So aligned with your soul purpose. And that's where some bliss will come in. Anyway, so how... Okay. Oh, yes, yes.
So with the third, the
yes,
topic.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to think of.
Well, you had
pineal.
The pineal.
Cerebral spinal fluid.
Yes. Thank you. Cerebral spinal fluid, you all know, runs up your spine and into your brain. It is called the elixir of life by Sutherland, who developed some of these techniques that are out there in which they move cerebral spinal fluid. In the Bible, it's called the river of life. It is physical, but it is very ethereal in nature. You couldn't live without it. You have to keep the flow of cerebral spinal fluid going up the spine at all times. To me, tuning forks is one of the best things you can do to keep that going, because if it gets dammed up by something, you're going to start feeling it. You can have cerebral hemorrhage. All kinds of things can happen if that's not flowing through that place up the spine. So that's the three: pineal gland, cerebral spinal fluid, and the etheric template. They are your most what we call spiritual physical parts of your body. Okay, so back to building a belief system. Now, here's the thing about it. You've got to realize belief systems should be changed and adjusted now and then. This is what bothers me about most religions, is they do not revisit their belief systems. They don't update. In this country, we love what's new. What is the new fashion? What is the new hairdo? What is the new car coming out? What is the new? We love it in the West. Until it comes to our spirituality and religion, we pretty much keep it the same. And can you imagine where my belief system has been in 54 years from a Pentecostal fundamentalist preacher just sitting here talking to you about what I'm talking to you about? That's a lot of tuning of my belief system. I mean, I have come a long way, baby, in what I was taught as a child to what I'm teaching you or facilitating you today. So, if I contemplate knowledge, I read in a book, hear somebody say, or even think myself, contemplate it in a neutral place in which I do not attach right or wrong, good or bad, and I have within me all the knowledge I at least need to reach optimum level. Now I'm going to get a little Bible here, because this is why I explained it. If you have something that you call the Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit is to you, it's the whole, W-H-O-L-L-Y, Holy Spirit. It's not the H-O-L-Y. I don't like the word H-O-L-Y. Holy is a word that means separate. It comes from the same word as sanctified, which means to be set apart. So when Yahweh back then in the Old Testament was saying, holy, 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 he was saying, I'm separate from you, I'm separate from you, I'm separate from you. No, it's whole. So we want wholeness, wholeness. But if you have the Holy Spirit and deal with the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, here's what it is said. Now you can hold this in your contemplation room, okay? And I'm just going to quote it. It says, when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit in you, you have no need for anyone to teach you, for the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. So here I'm recognizing something I call the Holy Spirit that can lead me into all truth. Would that not mean in me now is all truth in my teacher, the Holy Spirit? So in me, I have all truth now. So why do I have to keep gathering knowledge that I think I lack outside of myself? I don't. So what are we doing here? Well, what I've learned through the years of dealing with people is people know a lot more than they understand. I would be a very wealthy person today if I had a dollar for every time somebody has said to me in 54 years of ministry, I felt led. I just felt led to call you this morning and let you know you are loved. I don't understand why I'm doing this today. You know, they'd really feel silly about doing it. But they were so guided that they needed to just call me and just let me know I'm loved. Not thank you very much for being obedient. And maybe it was a bad day. Maybe I just needed to hear that. Or people say to me, I felt led to give you an extra offering today or an offering today. I have no idea. I don't understand why I'm doing this, but I just felt I needed to do it. This goes on all the time. If you stop and think that people know to do things they don't understand. So even though we know all things, we don't understand everything we know. Now, the beginning of that would be in the form of intuition. So when people are intuitive, that means they know to do or say something, but they don't really understand it. Have you ever been to a reader or someone that said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but this is what's coming to me? Of course, they're saying some angels telling them or somebody, you know, I don't know. We create such a wonderful story. You know, whatever it is that you think's doing it. And you go, yes, that's it. But when they say it, it's not because they said it. It's because you already knew it inside. And what they said resonated, and it was your own knowledge. So in other words, the goal of creating a belief system is to create your own belief system and not download the beliefs of other people. That is not in sync with your own inherent intelligence. You take this community. Some are attracted toward this particular teaching here. Some's attracted more to that kind of class. Some could care less about this or that. Why do people have such a diversity as to what they are drawn toward? Because what they need to hear in that class is to resonate their own inherent intelligence center. Why? So that the information has their own I am vibrational code on it. Now, I don't know how else to say that. I know that's bizarre, but every one of you have a unique I am signature vibration that is yours and nobody else. Because, you know, when I'm in this mindset, it's all, we're all one. 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 Yes, yes, yes. At a certain level, we are all one. But what about action and reaction, if you believe in that? I do. I believe that what I put out, I get back. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it'll return many days hence. Whatever you sow, you reap. You know, it's a pretty universal idea, actually. Action and reaction. What goes around comes around. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
How in the world would what I put out know how to find me if we're all one? Maybe it'll end up with Michael. Well, Michael didn't deserve my stuff. And I don't deserve Michael's stuff. Michael deserves his stuff. I deserve mine. And everybody here deserves their own thing. So that means that all of us, when we incarnate into individual bodies, that is like no other person's body, no other person's total DNA. We're all given a unique signature, energetic vibrational signature that can always find you. So what you put out on that vibration can come back to you on that same vibration. So what we're saying here is, I want my belief system, the work that I do is to make as much as my belief system as possible fit my inner codes of my inner intelligence. So that means what I read or hear outside of myself is fine, but I'm not to download it as new chemical patterns of the synapses of my brain that creates a new neural thought. I don't know how to say it. There's a name for that. It's called brain cell firing. If I say this is a table, in your brain somebody, somewhere, someday told you this is a table, and so your brain quickly goes through all the data that looks like this, and it fires out chemically, oh, that's a table. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're sitting here and you knew only Chinese or something, and I said table, and your brain went through, and says, there's nothing in here. I have nothing to fire out with this sound this man made. I don't know what it is. Right? Wouldn't make any sense at all to you. So you don't want to just download information because it sounded good. Because that's, I think I like that. I think I'll take that one. It's interesting. You're always looking to what resonates your own inherent intelligence center. So by keeping it neutral, not judging it right or wrong, good or bad, and holding it, one of two things will happen. One, you'll totally forget it. It will become totally unimportant to you. Or you will resonate it out of your own inherent system, and it'll become your thought from you, not from the person outside of you. Does that make sense to you? In other words, I'm not here to try to teach you something that I believe. I'm trying to teach you some information that you might contemplate and see if any of this information resonates with your own inherent intelligence center, because according to Mr. Davis here, you will not change the vibratory frequency of your cellular growth until it is through the vibration of your own knowledge. You'll never do it through the knowledge of another person. And one of the greatest illusions out there that you got to watch for is people who are constant students of workshops and knowledge, who have the illusion they're getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter, but going nowhere. Saying, if I say to you that your life force energy, the reason for physical death is aging and dying is because of misusing the life force energy through the nature of your thinking. All right, you contemplate that thought. Is my aging and eventual degeneration toward death happening because of the nature of my thinking? I do not say that's right. I do not say that is wrong, false, or true. I'm just contemplating that. Then all of a sudden, at some point, something happens inside of you, and you have that, oh, I get it. Oh, it's almost like a feeling of, I forgot it, but I remember it. At that point, it's your knowledge. It holds your key vibration on it. That then becomes a living logos word. That's the Greek word. Logos word, which is a living word. And if you can get a living word, it will become flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Even Deepak Chopra uses that. A man from Hinduism and science uses that term. So please, don't let the Bible steal everything away that is universal. It is our place to find those universal principles and pull it out. And that's one of my great passions. Is people are throwing the baby out with the bathwater, who are throwing the Bible out, who don't care about the Bible, who don't want to know about the Bible, because there is hidden gems of truth in there that is very important to your transformation and your evolution to the next level of what it means to be human. Anything about that? Okay, so I have that experience. Let's say you have that experience. I get that aha moment. Now, the knowledge has come up out of me. It's mine. It's not David's. It's not somebody else. It's mine. I get it. That's what you want to feel like. I get it. It's not that when David said that, I really liked what he said, and I'm going to believe that. Because it really sounded good when David said that, and I like that, and I'm kind of into that. No. What you get then qualifies to now become a part of your belief system. That's your belief. That's how you create a belief system that's not a BS system. So, what I wanted you to see here is the etheric body, also called soul body, spirit body, or pattern body, contains, with other information, the individual's original master design is in the etheric body. So what I want to close with is this idea for you to contemplate. So here is your perfect pattern that is in the etheric body, and then you have your catheric body. Now, you that are new to the catheric body is... I have pictures of all of this in the workshop, so I'll have to set it up sometime. But you can see how around the body is this egg-shaped energy centers, and there's seven layers of it. If you go out for the furthest to the seventh from the physical body, you find something called the catheric body. Catheric is just a term that means crown, because it is the spinning of the crown energy center or chakra. That holds your created wholeness. That is the self that is whole and created right now. And nothing can change it there. It begins its journey, again, use our steam and ice thing. It begins its journey by moving through the spectrum of vibration to become our physiology. Now, how's that possible? I'm 68 years old, and it appears, I hope not, but it appears I have a 60-year-old body. I mean, it's great when people say, oh, you don't look 68, but I am. So, the point is, whatever my age is that how old my body is?
No.
No. Why? My body is totally regenerating. Cells are destroying themselves and recreating themselves all the time. That is so important to me, to understand that there's a constant opportunity of grace to change the vibratory frequency of a new generation of cells, to raise the vibratory frequency of the organs of my body. It is said by many who have some accreditation, such as Deepak and others, that we make a new liver every 6 to 8 weeks.
Every 6 to 8 weeks?
Weeks. Some things are in a day. But it takes approximately 7 years for everything that can be redone. Not everything in the body can be redone. You've got brain cells that don't. That's why Alzheimer's and dementia is a tough one. You've got to address it differently because those cells don't regenerate. But a lot of your organs do regenerate every 7 years. But what cells, all the cells that do generate, are constantly doing it with a nanosecond of grace in which you can change something. That's why my work isn't overpopular. People are not beating my door down to go in there because I don't have a magic wand. I cannot just heal your body of something because I'm trying to go so deep into your core issues that you've been carrying for who knows how long. It goes back before you have to be cleared out, and people don't have the patience. Tom has been one of the most patient clients that I've had who has stayed with it. He has no huge physical things yet, but we're getting there. You know, if he'll stay with it, we'll keep changing and clearing out layers and layers of unresolved issues and emotions and all that stuff that's so built up in there that it's finally popped out, you know, as an illness or sickness or disease in the body. And people don't want to do that work. And I'll tell you another thing people don't do, and I don't know why we're not doing it. People say to me, well, I'm not coming to you. I have nothing wrong with me. Well, why wait till you have something wrong with you? Have you ever not heard of preventive medicine? I can find stuff, mispatternings in your etheric body long before it comes physical. You hold disease weeks and months in your etheric body before it becomes physical. If I can find that and clear that in the etheric body, then maybe we can stop it from ever becoming physical. What if, say, cancer, diabetes, etc., are nothing but misspelled DNA? Maybe down through ancestral, DNA has been so affected that it has sequenced your DNA. And it has therefore ended up making distorted cells that we name these diseases. Your body doesn't even know about the diseases. Cancer is something, somebody named it a cancer. Somebody named diabetes, diabetes. You know, they have to name it. It's actually what's going on at the cellular level. Absolutely, DNA can be changed. It's kind of like, I'm rather dyslexic. I'm a terrible speller. So I'm typing on my computer, and every once in a while, quite often, a little red thing comes up under something, and I ended up there with this spelling, and I hit it, and magic happens before my eyes, and that misspelled, missequenced word becomes sequenced. And I thought, my God, if we can do that with our technology, that had to come from inner technology. So I wonder if we had the Holy Spirit do a spell check in your DNA. I do that in meditation sometimes. We ought to do that sometimes. Do a spell check. Say, go through my entire 3 billion letters of my 100 billion cells. Do a spell check for me, which is totally beyond time and space. There's no time to it. It can just happen that quick, just as that computer can do that just that fast. Oh, I have to give you something out of the Bible. I know you probably don't want me to, but David's one of my favorite characters of all the Bible. David was a visionary. David was not under Old Testament Yahweh law. He really has a vision of a world to come. He really did. And I could show you that. And his psalms are all built upon the frequencies of my tuning forks, on the solfeggio frequencies. And but he says in one of his psalms, I see a generation to come that will not walk as their forefathers. Now think about it. In the word generation is the word gene. I see a new gene. You know, I've hated my middle name all my life. I have been just like, why did you name me Eugene? David I got. I knew I was to be David, which means beloved of the soul. I love my name David. I know it's spiritually inspired. But Eugene? Then I found out there's such a thing as eugenics. And the word Eugene means you, new, gene. Or first gene. I said, I'll take it. I am David Eugene. David the new gene. So I like it now. Had a shift in perception. So he said, I see a new generation come that will not walk as their forefathers. And I love that. Think about that as genetics. I see a whole new generation of genes that will not carry the vibration of the past generation that holds DNA disposition toward disease, sickness, and so on and so forth. But then he picks it up a little later in a couple of Psalms, and he said, I heard a testimony, which translates, I heard a sound. A sound is a vibration. There was a vibration. I think it's translated groaning. I heard a groaning, a sound that came up. Now, and this is what it says. And they were loosed from their appointment with death. Wonder if I said, and they were loosed from their appointment with cancer. They were loosed from their appointment with diabetes. I mean, really, what a great time we are living right now. I mean, to realize we are truly the center of our power. And if we can just keep it out of the ego and from greed and from all of those things that mankind, womankind has fallen into for so long, if we can be that part of a generation who can truly arise and be as wise as the serpent, but as harmless as the dove. Isn't that a great thing to say? Jesus told him, says, be as wise as those serpents who control the planet, who hold information back from you, who have divided us to conquer us. Be as wise as them. Learn their way. Learn how they've done it. They've been successful for eons of time to display their agenda. They're still trying to do it. There's a meeting going on right now in Europe where they're trying to set the new agenda for things. That happens once or twice a year. All the main powers politically all come together and decide for you and I how it's going to go, how the interest is going to go, how this is going to go. And they've been so successful at it. But now they feel a shift. In fact, I can't think of the name of somebody help me. It's the Heiselberg or something thing. Anyway, I've been looking at it for a long time. They have been so secret that nobody knew about them until the press has infiltrated it and exposed it. And now they're having to come out and have an agenda of who they are. Now, I know a lot of you don't know about that, maybe that stuff, but I do. I've always been into, you call me a conspiracy theorist if you want to, but I wanted to know who is in power. And I wanted to live to see the shifting of the power from those who have been wise. You know why it's called a serpent? Because they live out of the reptilian part of their brain. They have developed the reptilian part of their brain while others move to the frontal cortex of the brain. And Jesus was saying, learn what the serpent has done, then raise it on the pole. Oh, gosh, I could get so much here. Pharaoh had serpents. And Moses had serpents. And Moses throws his serpents in there, but he was ordered, first, raise all your serpents on the pole. And when that happened, Moses' serpents devoured the serpents of Moses. Now think of that metaphysically. Raise your consciousness on the pole into a higher state, and then you will devour the old serpent way of doing things to divide and conquer. And that's why Kundalini calls it the serpentine goddess energy. Serpent really isn't a bad term. It's just been misused. It really means a lot of great things in the East. I won't get into that. I could go into a whole lesson on what the serpent in the garden and all that rigmarole. Wasn't a snake. No apple and no snake were there. Anyway, what I'm saying is you and I need to study some of the things that have been successful. There's nothing new under the sun anyway. So learn what's been successful. Change the motive from divide and conquer to unite and heal. That's why knowledge can be so powerful. It can make us or break us. But some of the stuff that you're learning, even in this class, and I'm telling you and your other people, are stuff that I want you to know would not have been available not many decades ago. It was totally held in the secret in the archives of monasteries and institutions, including the frequencies of my tuning forks. When Dr. Puglio found these sacred frequencies of the solfeggio and called a Monsignor who was head of the archives, he was told and warned to stay away from it. He had no business dabbling in it, and the phone was slammed down in his ear. And within weeks, in his kitchen, making spaghetti and holding an olive oil bottle, was shot at with a laser bullet. That's why he never left Sandpoint, Idaho. But I got the information and did something about it. And I got to talk to him before he made his transition. I wanted to talk to this man. He was a researcher, minister guy that had the experience. And I said, but Dr. Puglio, nobody's doing anything with your information. That Yeshua appeared to you and said it's time for these frequencies to be, for the third time, given back to the earth. Because it was lost through David, and then Solomon lost it. Then the Catholic Church found it, put it in the Gregorian chants in Latin, and then they lost it by the 17th century. And then Dr. Puglio rediscovers them in 1974, a time that all of us in this room were alive. This is the stuff that's happened in our time. Isn't that more interesting than what happened 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago? What about those who have lived in your time? What about these people? Here's the etheric body, what I want to get to. Here's the etheric body, carrying your perfect blueprint. And here it comes. I want to get down here. I want to be a part of your astral body. I want to be a part of your mental, emotional. And I want to get in there and be the etheric body, but I don't want to lose in the interpretation. I want to keep my original frequency of wholeness and perfection and make it to the etheric body, and then I can make a body based on my vibration as it was created. Imagine having a created spirit and a created body instead of a created spirit and a formed body. Chapter 1 of Genesis, God created man in his own image and likeness. The second chapter said, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. It's not the same thing. It's two different things. This is old ancient teachings that have been kept from us from eons of time. And we're living in something that is called, in the Bible, the restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of the prophets. What that means is everything that has been held and kept in secret will be revealed and shouted on the housetop. And that's the ministry that I was given back in the 80s. I became a part of a group called Ministers of Reconciliation. And that's where I've not quite found my voice here to minister that. I had an audience at that time, but when I got into the New Thought, they left me. They said, no, we can't take this Course in Miracles and Metaphysics and Unity and all that stuff. You're leaving your roots. You're leaving the Holy Ghost. You're leaving this. I said, I'm sorry. I've outgrown this. I got to go somewhere else. And this is where I've been for the last 20-some years. So I'm still trying to find where is my place to continue the ministry of reconciliation of all things. All things. So this is part of it. And you're a part of it. And I honor you. I honor you for being here and being a part of listening to information that at one time was held in the dark ages. But the light is bursting forth. And now we live in a time that we're inexcusable. We have information at our fingertips. That's the one good thing about the computer I do like is the websites that you can get on and find information that is amazing to me. I know you have to weed through it too. You have to do that. You have to be discerning. But it's important. So quickly, in closing for today, as it moves through, you have these blockages. You have unresolved stuff in your mental. You have unresolved stuff in your emotional body. We'll get into the astral body. It's a very important body. But all these bodies, and what it does is it dumbs down what it started out to be until what happens, the etheric blueprints that are your perfect blueprints for your physical become distorted blueprints, which therefore makes distorted cells, and we have inferior bodies. In 1974, I got up in a church and said, you people are not going to convince me God created these bodies. If he did, he was a failure, and he could have done better. And that's not the God I know. The God I believe in is perfect and whole, and he could only create that which is equal to itself. He would not create anything inferior to itself. I was put on a scale at 8 years old in Sunday school. A teacher went and looked at how much dirt was selling, an ounce. And based on that, I was worth 32 cents. Because I was dirt. Because God made man out of the dust of the earth. Didn't help my self-esteem about myself. I said, God don't create dirt in that way that dirt is being used. I'm talking about earth, but just dirt. No way. I said, I know exactly where my body came from. Just look at my mom and my dad and my grandmother and my grandfather. You'll see exactly where my body came from. Two people came together and formed this body that holds my spirit. But at some point, my body will be made out of my spirit. And where blood runs in my veins, light will run. And there will be no inner and there will be no outer. And I will say, as Jesus did, touch me. He didn't say, look past this. He said, go ahead, touch me. Because who he was all the way to the cellular level. And that's why even death could not hold him physically. He was able to restore the vibration of life into his body. And he says, what I've done, you can do. And even greater. And Paul cried out, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Let's take a moment, if you will, just to get comfortable in your chairs. And what we're going to do is, before we leave, is to just turn this over to the altar of our higher self. To the altar of the Holy Spirit, our inner teacher. As we take a breath in and out, we enter into the state of consciousness where we honor the inner teacher, the Christ consciousness. At this moment, if you will, let that same mind be in you, which was in Christ. who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And now we take all this information and data that we've heard. It's been a lot of it. Our brain's not going to remember about a seventh of it at best. But what has fallen into our hearts and our spirit, we hold it in contemplation. We choose not to react and quickly judge anything, right, wrong, false, or true. But we hold it in that sacred space of contemplation. Either it will resonate out of our own inherent Christ consciousness, and we will have our own personal knowing. At that moment, we may choose to qualify it into our belief system. And if it does not resonate, it does not mean it is wrong. It means it is just not our time now for that information. So we just hold it until it is time. Or it dissipates completely if it does not fit our inherent intelligence system. And the more that we qualify that aligns, the more we will see a difference in the replication of our cells on a higher vibratory frequency. Therefore, our bodies get healthier and healthier, freer and freer, less able to be receptive to our allergies, colds, flu, and other things that we constantly find a weakness for. For let the weak say they are strong. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for those that are drawn here today. So it is. Amen.